Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 11. I think last Wednesday Tim was in this passage, but he dealt with something entirely different about the Lord's arm is not short that it cannot save. We're going to look tonight at verses 26 to 30. What I'm titling this is, Are You Jealous? Be Meek Like Moses. Are you jealous? Be meek or humble like Moses. So let's read the verses and then we'll pray. Let's start in verse 24. Numbers chapter 11. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down and spoke to him and took some of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Verse 26. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, My Lord, Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. So let's pray. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that You would feed Your sheep. Here we have these brothers and sisters here gathered, and Lord, we need to be fed from Your Word. Lord, we need to be sanctified to be made more like Jesus Christ. And here Your Word is. It's a living, active weapon, Lord, that pierces the division of our hearts and our thoughts. And we're thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful that we can read Scripture. It brings things to our minds. It convicts us of where we fall short. And we can rise up and follow Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I just pray that You would feed us tonight, that You would sanctify us tonight, and that You would encourage us through Your Word. And we just look to You and ask for grace and help. Lord, even as these men were filled with the Spirit, Father, would You fill me with the Spirit? That I might speak truth and say things that will build up the body. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So, Numbers chapter 11, if you just got here. So, are you jealous? Be meek like Moses. Now, I want to hit on a couple things in this text real quick to help you guys understand some of it before we go and think about it. Look at verse 16. Or actually, not 16, sorry. Let's look at verse 11. Moses said to the Lord, Numbers 11:11, Why have you dealt ill with your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth? He goes on, verse 14, I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I might not see my wretchedness. So notice first here, Moses felt very burdened, and he's crying out to God. You could say he was praying to the Lord. He has this great burden. It's crushing him. He goes to the Lord. Verse 16, Then the Lord said to Moses, so there's some answered prayer here, I would call it, Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of the meeting and let them take their stand there with you, and I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the Spirit that is on you, the Holy Spirit, and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you. Now, real quick, I don't believe that means he's taking some of the Holy Spirit out of Moses and pouring it into them. But it's rather the same type of giftings, the same power of God. He's also going to pour it into them. It's going to be like what Moses has. And he's going to do it so that Moses might not bear it himself alone. And then we have verse 18. It goes into this issue of their sin. But then let's go back, or let's go on now to verse 24, where we read at the end, verse 25, the Spirit rested on them. And that's referring to the 70. Now, verse 26. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. Now, if you notice, he says there they were among those registered. What that means is they were among the 70. So picture, this is what happened. There was a command given for 70 men to come to the temple. Did I get that right? They remained in the camp. These men were called to... Let me make sure I'm saying the right word. And they gathered the 70 of the elders, placed them around the tent, not the temple. He wanted these 70 to come to the tent. Okay, so he's calling them to come. And there's two among the 70 who were registered among them and they didn't make it there. Now the text does not say why Eldad and Medad did not make it to the temple. To the tent. And what happened? The Spirit of God was divided and fell on these 68 men. And then this young man comes running in and he says to Moses, he says, Eldad and Medad, they're back at the camp. They're not here where they should be. They're back at the camp and the Spirit fell on them and they're prophesying as well. And that's when Joshua responds. Joshua says, Moses, stop them. And Moses says, no, no. He says right there, would that all the Lord's people were prophets. He says, are you jealous for my sake? So that's kind of the picture of what's happening. These are two men who were among the 70, but for some reason they didn't come. And it doesn't say why in the text. And that's not the big issue we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at tonight, what I want you to come away with is the humility of Moses. Is the humility of Moses. Moses, in verse 26, shows us how to respond to jealousy that comes about in our heart. And how does Moses respond? He genuinely desires that all of God's people would have the very best blessing upon their life. That's what Moses desired right here. He says, would that all the Lord's people were prophets. He's wanting all of God's people. Would not all of God's people have this? So, we're going to look at this topic of jealousy tonight. Jealousy. And how Moses was humble. Let me pray again. I need to be humble and acknowledge I need God's help. Father, I pray You would help. Lord, help me to clearly get this passage to my brothers and sisters here that there would not be confusion. Father, I feel like I'm already ramming in and going in circles. Lord, would You give grace right now for the sake of Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Verse 27. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Now, who did he tell that to? Moses. Who responded? Moses? No. Who responded? Joshua. First thought there. How many times, you know, someone runs in and they tell something and you have such an interest in what they said, you just cut off the person they asked and you give your own response. You know, I go to ask Angel a question, but Mario's so consumed with it, he doesn't even let Angel respond. Here Joshua is the younger and he just cuts off Moses. Right there, I think, is the first sign something's not right in the man's heart. And what does Joshua say? Numbers 11:28. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said this, My Lord Moses, stop them. Here the Spirit of God came on these two men, and they're prophesying, and Joshua's attitude is, stop them. And Moses, as we see, said to them, Are you jealous for my sake? He calls out the specific thing that's going on inside of Joshua's heart. He says, Are you jealous for my sake? He saw, look, this is what's going inside of this man's heart. There's jealousy there. And Moses says, If only I wish that all of the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. Do you guys see what's happening there? Think, when does that happen in your own life? There's times God is blessing someone, like Eldad and Medad, the Spirit is coming on them, and for whatever reason, we run in like Joshua, and we're saying, stop it. Stop it. Don't bless them out of jealousy in our heart. 1 Corinthians 12 says this. It says that there may be no division in the body, that's us, but that the members, that's me and you, we're members, may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Has there ever been a time someone was honored and you did not rejoice when they were honored? I mean, they were honored. It could be with a spouse. It could be with verbal praise. It could be with a physical blessing. Think, has there ever been a time that member of the same body that you're a part of, they get honored and you do not rejoice? Remember, they're a member of the same body. It's kind of crazy to not rejoice when a member of your own body gets something. If you're really the same body, you'd be rejoicing. Thank God they got that, because we're members of the same body, and them getting that, being a member of the same body, is going to help me, because they're that member and I'm this member. You know, if my foot gets blessed with a shoe, I rejoice, because my foot will be a better member to get my hand places. I'm not going to not rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. And that's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12. He says we're all members. Some of us are eyes, some of us are fingers, some of us are feet, some of us are kneecaps, some of us are ears. Are you content with what member you are? Are you content? Are you rejoicing when one member is honored? It's not just a member gets honored and you're just kind of like nothing. Paul says here, rejoice. Rejoice. Not you're neutral, but you're rejoicing. Now, Joshua here was totally the opposite of that. It wasn't like these guys are prophesying and Joshua's thinking to himself, nothing. He's thinking, you know what, I don't entirely agree with that. Those two guys weren't even with us in the tent when the Spirit came. They had an independent attitude still in the camp. I don't know why they didn't come, but I'm just not going to say anything. Joshua didn't just grumble on the inside. Joshua said, stop them, Moses. And Moses rebukes him. It doesn't say the word rebuke, but that's what Moses' comment was. It was, no, Joshua, you're wrong. I wish everyone would have what happened to them happen. I wish God would raise up many people. So Moses chose humility, not jealousy. Jealousy is to envy another's blessings. Jealousy is to want yourself to be the center of attention. Jealousy reveals discontentment in the heart. Jealousy is a sinful, competitive attitude that turns the Christian life into a competition of trying to be the best. You know, when I was lost, I played basketball. You wanted to be the best. You wanted to be the team in the layup drills that had all the guys dunking the ball. That was cool back then. I don't know if it is still today. But that's what you wanted. You were jealous. You were full of competition. If you were not the best, guess where all your joy went? You had no joy. I remember when we lost in this championship game in high school and people were just crying in the locker room. Their world fell apart. That's how we should not be in the Christian life. We should not have this great competitive attitude. If I don't do better than you, I'm going to have a pity party and just cry and lose all my joy. So, is your Christian life, is anywhere in your Christian life a competition right now? Is there anywhere where you feel like you're competing with someone else? I need to do that better than them. I'll tell you, where that is at, jealousy is close by. Jealousy seeks to put you first. Yet Luke 13 says, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. You know, if your mindset, I want to be first, remember Jesus said those who are first are going to be last in the end. So, we need to think of Moses' response and be amazed for what it is. This isn't just coming from any man. Look at chapter 12, verse 3. What does it say of Moses? Now the man Moses was very meek. I mean, humble, full of humility, low view of himself, high view of God, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. Moses' response, he was the most meekest man on the earth. That response right there came from the humblest man on the earth. That's top stuff to imitate. When you look at Moses, you're looking at a humble man to imitate. Numbers 12:3 says, so, think about Moses. Who ultimately is Moses imitating? Though Jesus Christ was not incarnate, He had not come in the flesh, ultimately we're all seeking to imitate the Trinity and ultimately Jesus Christ. Paul said, imitate Me as I imitate Jesus Christ. Think about Christ. What was His attitude? Paul said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, think, rich, I mean, King of the universe, Creator, you don't get richer than that. Though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich. So He became poor that we might be rich. He left His throne that we might be able to one day be seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And Ephesians says we are right now. Don't understand all of that. Philippians 2:7 says Christ took the form of a servant. Christ took the form of a servant. 1 Corinthians 13:4. What does that say? What does love not do? What does Paul say? Love does not what? It says a lot of things, but it says love does not envy. And when you think about jealousy and envy, you think about two words that are used synonymously. There's not a lot of differences between jealousy and envy. Paul says love does not envy. So if what is jealousy? If love is not jealous, then to be jealous is what? It's to be full of selfish ambition and selfish desire. And that's the opposite of what Christ came to do. Christ came to serve. The servant is not his interest, is his master's interest. Is his interest is not his own interest. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and give Himself as a ransom for many. So, part of the reason I wanted to deal with this, and we're in Numbers 11, Mitchell, Numbers chapter 11. Part of the reason is this. I noticed something in my own heart. I was praying specifically for a certain place that God would raise up laborers. And someone emailed me about something God is doing in that place. And what did I not do when I got that email? I did not rejoice. I just kind of read it. And I was not encouraged by it. And that really troubled me. When I read that email, I'm praying for this place specifically, that God would raise up laborers. I'm praying for that. And then I hear that that's happening. And what happens? In my own heart, I couldn't rejoice and I was not encouraged by the news. And so I just stepped back and I realized something's wrong. Something is wrong that I could not rejoice, that I was not encouraged by getting that email. And, you know, as I prayed Psalms 139, search me, O God, try my heart, see if there's any grievous way in me, I realized there was a subtle jealousy in my heart that I ultimately was hoping God would use me to fit that need. And so when I get the news God's doing something with someone else, I was jealous that that was not me. Now, that wasn't an overwhelming thought in my mind, but as I searched my own heart, I realized that subtly is what was going on. Now, I realized, you know what? I need to realize how vile that thought is. I need to realize how despicable to God jealousy is. And so I thought about it. I thought, okay, you know, I'm subtly saying this. Don't raise them up to go there. Just let all the people perish there and go to hell unless I get to go and you use me. Now, I would not say that, but subtly jealousy was implying that was my desire. Lord, don't do anything. Don't answer my prayers unless you're going to use me. It's like saying to a doctor, a doctor is healing that man, and I'm jealous that I'm not the one healing the man. And so I'm coming up and I'm saying, Lord, stop the doctor from healing that man. Use me to heal that man. Stop healing him. Let him die unless you use me. And that's kind of what Joshua was doing. Here these two men are prophesying, and Joshua says, stop them. Stop them. And Moses is saying, no, I wish all of God's people were filled with the Spirit and able to do such. It's like saying, stop feeding them, let them starve until I can feed them and get honor. Now again, I wouldn't say that out loud, but if you really trace the subtle things of jealousy in your own heart when they manifest themselves, you want to see them as vile and sinful as they are. And you've got to think, what is that implying when I cannot rejoice when that person is honored? I should have been rejoicing that God was answering prayer. I'm praying for a place, God's answering it, and I was not. That is very defiling. And that's what jealousy does. So here's something is we need to realize in regards to this text even. We're jealous for the sake of someone, God or self. Now let's look, what did Moses ask Joshua right here? Numbers 11, verse 29. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? And that's a question we've got to ask ourselves. Are we jealous for God's sake or our own sake? Because you realize there's a jealousy that is a good jealousy. Phinehas was jealous for the Lord, and he went and showed that by killing these people the Lord told him to kill. Jealousy for God can be a good thing. But that's the key question is this. And let's think of this first. Another word for jealousy is zealousness, in a way. It can be rendered. So think of this. You're either zealous for God or zealous for yourself. You see that? And so we've got to ask ourselves, what's motivating my zeal? What's motivating it? Is it for myself or is it for the Lord? Either jealous for God and thus zealous for His glory, or jealous for self and zealous for your own glory. Now how do you search your heart on that? Well, do you get upset when you don't get honored as you think you deserve? Do you get upset when you don't get honored as you think you deserve? Or do you get upset when God is not honored as He is due deserved? You know, Phinehas' jealousy was that God was not being honored as He was worthy, and what motivated him was a good jealousy. It was a good zeal, a good burning in his heart. So Moses asked Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? Are you jealous for my sake? We've got to ask ourselves, why do I get jealous? Why am I zealous? Why are men zealous in the ministry? What motivates them? Is it ultimately their own glory or is it the glory of God? What's motivating them? I mean, we think of the book of John. What happened in John? Some people love the glory that came from man more than the glory that came from God. You think about, so often we see people are doing things just to please man. And that's their motivation. They're not zealous for God. Romans 11:11, don't turn there. It says this, Paul said, salvation has come to the Gentiles so as to make them, to make Israel jealous. Now, I'm taking a principle out of that. The point in the context is, He wanted the Jews to be jealous that, look, here I'm saving Gentiles, you guys are missing out on heaven. But what did Paul say here? Salvation has come to the Gentiles. A blessing comes to a person, and what does Paul say here? It's so as to make Israel jealous. So a blessing. How often when a blessing comes to someone, it makes us jealous? Has that ever happened to anyone? Has anyone ever got jealous when a blessing came to someone else? And look, the fact is we all battle on different scales jealousy in different forms. We've got to fight it. So, what is our response? What is our response? Why am I jealous? Is it for God's sake and a right jealousy, or is it for my own sake? And again, let's look at the response here. Numbers 11. Joshua said, Lord Moses, stop them. Stop them from prophesying. Stop them, Lord. They were just filled with the Spirit. Stop that from happening. And then Moses' response, in short, is, I wish everyone was doing what they're doing. So Moses is praising God and he wanted more to do it. Now, let's think of that phrase, stop them. Stop them. The other words that could be rendered are as this, restrict. Restrict them from entry into your blessing. Another word is withhold. Withhold. Withhold good things from them, but give to me. Another word is shut up their work. Prevent them from success. Another word is keep back the floodgates of blessing from them. Another word is refrain. Refrain from giving them good. Again, think of those words. Is there any time you're saying that to God in regards to a person? Is there any time you're saying, Lord, stop them, restrict them, withhold them, shut up their work, keep back, refrain them from getting that good thing? I mean, that's jealousy. That's jealousy. Why come in there and ask God, stop giving them that? And we don't verbally say it, but we can subtly feel that in our heart. And we have to guard ourselves from that and be meek like Moses, who is humble like Jesus Christ. We find this similar idea in Mark 9:38. John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, do not stop him. For no one, and you hear that word, do not stop. For no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. So again, what did the disciples say? We tried to stop him. What did Joshua say? Moses, stop them. And what does Jesus say? Don't stop them. What does Moses say? Don't stop them. I wish all the people of God had this blessing, had this ability to be filled with part of the Spirit and prophesy. That's the attitude we need to have. It hits home, though, when we see people being blessed specifically in the areas that we desire. I mean, think of the things you want the most. If what you want the most is a spouse, you're going to be tested the most when someone else gets blessed with a spouse. If the thing you want most is fill in the blank, you're going to be tested the most with whether you're jealous of what they have, whether you're envious of them based on the things that hit home closest to you. You know, I don't care about jewelry at all. If someone gets the biggest, goldest ring ever, I don't have any temptation to be jealous. I mean, it doesn't bother me. Now, for someone else, if they really want that, they're going to be tested. Okay, let's think a little more about this thing. Jealousy and our need to be meek, to be humble like Moses. If your desire is truly for God's kingdom and not your own, then you want men raised up no matter what part you play. Did you hear that? If our desire is truly for God's kingdom, not our own kingdom, and we can mix those up too often. If our desire is ultimately for God's kingdom and not our own, then it shouldn't ruffle our feathers a bit at whoever God raises up to do certain things. It should not bother us a bit. If God raises up this person to do this, that person to preach, this person to be a deacon, that person to go to the missions field, this person to do that, we shouldn't be sitting there in any way not encouraged and not rejoicing. We should be rejoicing and thanking God and saying, I wish everyone in the church had such a blessing as that person right there. I wish God would raise up more than 70 people who are prophesying, but 70,000 people. That was Moses' response. Because Moses was a man for God's kingdom, not his own. There wasn't a competition going on. What did Moses just pray for? Moses had just prayed for what? He's burdened down and he's asking God for help. So you think Moses is going to want to stop the very answered prayer that he prayed for? I mean, Moses prayed for help and then God pours His Spirit out on 70 men and Joshua's thinking those two need to stop. Moses isn't going to say stop them. That's his prayers being answered. That's his cry for help being answered. Yet my own honest example of myself was, what did I do? I did not rejoice. I was not encouraged when a prayer of mine was being answered. Rather, I was a little standoffish, unable to enter in. You know, is there ever a time when something happens for someone and you just can't enter in? I mean, you just... And it's not always bad if you can't. I mean, there's sometimes you just can't. But sometimes we can't enter in because we're unhappy to see that they were blessed. And obviously, I'm not talking about blessing, you know, all this financial prosperity gospel. Now, we do get money. We need money. We can't live without having money. We need $50 a week or something. If you're in the Grace House. So Moses' response, I mean, again, Moses is very meek, very humble, more than all the people who are on the face of the earth. You want to respond like him. You want to hear of something happening and the last thing on your mind is stop them. But the first thing on your mind is praise God. I hope more people have that happen. I mean, that may sound, yeah, that's easy. That's not easy. Sadly, that can be very hard. Maybe it is a lot easier for some of you than I've found it in my own life, and that's because I need to be more like Jesus Christ. So, lacking this humble mindset, you know, one of the most important reasons we need to be like this? Because to have jealousy in our hearts, it will tear down this church. It will tear down your relationships. You want to have division? Be jealous. I mean, think of it. There are times people have a close relationship and then something happens and they become jealous of something the other person had and they just kind of get separated. And they never get reconciled because of sin, of jealousy, of envy, competition. You think of James 3:16, for where selfish ambition and jealousy exist, what does he say? Where you have the seed of jealousy, what happens there? James 3:16 says there will be disorder in every vile practice. Every vile practice. Think of a family in the Bible. There's a family in the Bible. Vile practice did it lead some brothers to do to their brother, their jealousy. Where jealousy exists, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Joseph, exactly. What did his brothers do to him? Sold him into slavery. Acts 7:9. And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, so his brothers jealous of him, sold him into Egypt. But God was with him, so it worked out. But isn't that amazing? They were jealous of him and it led them to sell their own brother. That's incredible. I mean, that's shocking. Now, I've never seen it happen where someone sells a person, but there's other subtle ways you can do it. Here one is. You can sell their reputation by gossiping about them and telling things that are not true about them. I mean, here, I'm jealous of them. man, I'm frustrated all the blessings God's given them in their life. I want people to think bad about them, so I'm going to go take things that are lies and I'm going to gossip. And that can be selling them. You're selling their reputation away through your slander. What did it say even deeper in Genesis? It says when he told it to his father, the dream, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you, to serve over you?" And his brothers were jealous of him. What was the big thing that made Joseph's brothers jealous of him? You know what thought it was? The thought of their brother serving over them. An unwillingness to submit if God had that very thing happen. And I mean, we can have that happen in the church. You know, you can be jealous, this person, or a Grace House or something, whatever. Someone's in leadership and you don't think they should be in leadership, and therefore you're jealous of that because they're serving over you. It could be a husband and a wife, and the wife is, she's frustrated. My husband is the head of the home. I want to rule over him with an iron rod. So isn't that scary? You would sell him because of jealousy. What subtle ways it manifests itself. So we've got to fight this, right? We're going to get the power to fight jealousy. We're going to get the power to fight these desires as they creep into our hearts. Well, what do we even see here happening in this passage in the Old Testament? We see the Spirit of God filling men. And here we are in the New Testament. You know what all of us who are Christians have? We have the Holy Spirit. What does Romans 8:13 say we do by the Spirit? We put to death the deeds of the flesh, and one of the deeds of the body is jealousy, is envy, and we put it to death by what? Our own power, our own strength? No. By the power of the Spirit. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, he says we have divine weapons. We're not using a carnal sword, a physical sword. We're using the Word of God. We're using the power of the Spirit. And that's how we're able to put to death jealousy. So be encouraged there. God has not left us without power. So, how can I get help in tearing down thoughts of jealousy when they come into my mind? I want you to realize how entirely foolish jealousy is. You want to be ashamed when you feel jealous. Just like that example I gave. You think I was just kind of like, well, no big deal? No, that was shameful. I mean, jealousy, if you look at it what it is, at times you realize it's like you're a kid and you're jealous they got the bigger toy and you got the smaller one. And you realize, this is crazy. Why am I being jealous? Well, here one thing is that should show you how entirely foolish it is to ever be jealous, sinfully jealous. We want to be jealous and zealous for God. And we see this in verse 29. We see the reason. Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets." Now look at what he says next. "That the Lord would put His Spirit on them." Who puts His Spirit on a person? The Lord. What's the point? The reason these men even had the Spirit put upon them wasn't anything to do with themselves. It was the Lord. Whether or not Eldad and Medad were not at the meeting, as one commentator said, that maybe they felt they were so unworthy and they did not want to go to the tent and they stayed in there, but God fell upon them anyways because it was His purpose. Whether that interpretation is right or whatnot, the point is God puts upon a man the gifting, the abilities that he has. We see this very clearly. Romans 12:3. "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." So who gives a person a measure of faith? Who gives people any ability, any gift? It is God. God assigns it. So that should show us. It's foolish for me to be jealous of what someone has, because the only reason they have that is God. And the only reason I have anything that I have is God. What does Paul say? 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? So what do I have that I didn't receive? Oh, everything I have is something I received. So Paul says, if then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? I mean, Paul's just butchering this idea of boasting. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Paul's saying, what are you talking about? Anything you have, any gift, any ability, any knowledge, anything you've got better than him, anything he's got better than you, is because God has assigned it. It's because you received it from the Lord. So we should zip our mouths when we're ever jealous, because the only reason we have anything is God, and the only reason they have what they have is from the Lord. Proverbs 16, the heart of a man plans his ways. The Lord establishes his steps. Ephesians 4:7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. You know, I mentioned this before. In the spiritual realm, you do not pick the career you're going to have. You don't pick it. The fact is, you can go pick the job you want to have. Guess what? In the spiritual realm, God has predestined, God has assigned, God has ordained what you're going to do. And that's how God's made you. So there's no point to try to go be an arm if God's made you a leg. Because God has assigned that very purpose, and you want to do what's going to be most fruitful in your life, and that's being who God has made you to be. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So all of my works as a Christian have been prepared beforehand that I should walk in them. And God has perfectly designed me and spiritually gifted me to fulfill the works He's prepared for me to do beforehand. So if I'm jealous of that guy that he's doing the works over there, I'm crazy, because God hasn't assigned me to do that and designed me to do that. It's like taking a car and trying to turn it into a plane. You know, the car's driving on the ground and he just doesn't like it. And he wants to fly like the plane. So he goes on a mountain and he tries to fly and he goes to his destruction. And that's what we do. And we're jealous of, they got those gifts, I want that. It's foolish. You guys see what I'm saying? Jealousy is foolish. It's foolish. Even in a lot of you guys are singles. Even in singleness is foolish. Because this is the thing. An excellent wife is from the Lord. So God has a wife that He's going to give you that's from Him. So if you're jealous someone has a spouse and you don't yet, it's because God doesn't want you to have that spouse yet, because He hasn't brought the one for you yet. And if you guys don't have it memorized, memorize Psalms 84:11. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. God is not withholding anything good from you. You got to believe that. I know it's hard. It's like, is that real? He's withholding a lot. Yes, He's withholding a lot of bad things in the moment. Not bad things at the core, but bad things at that timing. Just like, you know, whatever. I'm glad people withhold phone calls from me at 4 a.m. That's not a good thing. A phone call at 8 a.m. is a good thing. I'm awake. It's a shallow example, but only thing that came to my mind. So, God gives gifts to men. Why be jealous? And here another thing is, God gives them to those people. Guess what one of the purposes is for? To help you. So God has gifted you and you and you in specific ways to all help each other. So think, why be jealous that a certain man has a certain gift you want, when the fact is God's given him that gift to actually help edify you and build you up in the faith? You see what I'm saying? It's crazy. Why be jealous of that? God's given him that for my own benefit, and here I'm complaining that I don't have what he has. It's crazy. So, pride is rooted in all of this. We must fight to cultivate this. Anytime you feel envy, jealousy rising up because of a blessing someone else has, rejoice for them and desire that all would have such a blessing. I mean, that is the one thing you want to get from this. You want to be like the humblest man back then who was Moses. When something happens, the last thing you want to say is, "Stop them, Moses." You want to say, "Oh, would that all the Lord's people, would every single woman in Grace Community Church be given a spouse, even if you pass me over, Lord. I'm fine with that." You know, fill in the blank. Look at that verse. Verse 29. Would that all the Lord's people were what? Fill that in. You want to be able to put the things that are closest to your own desires right there and be okay with others getting the very things you desire and you missing out. Because in the end, you've got Christ and they've got Christ, and that's what matters in the end. It's not about what we get. It's the fact we've got Jesus Christ and He is our Lord. He's our Savior. We have intimacy. We know Him. All these other things are so small. But you know what? We can so easily want honor from men. We can so easily want blessing and honor from men. And pride drives us to jealousy so often. Or at least it tempts us. That's the thing. I've realized in my own life, it's easy to, you know, you have a temptation with something really horrible. Say, a lustful thought. And you don't entertain it. It's defiling. And you turn and you take the way of escape. But you know what is scary? There's times, say, a thought like jealousy comes in your mind and you just entertain it. You don't look at jealousy and say, that is as abhorring as an adulterous thought. We need to be sensitive to do that. You guys see what I'm saying? You don't want to be programmed that, oh, all these defiling, real defiling sins, I better not entertain them in my mind. We do not want to entertain pride, jealousy, covetousness, idolatry. You fill in the blank. Right when you see that coming on your mind, on your heart, you want to fight against it. You don't want to give in to it. You don't want to let it sit around there. So we need to search our own hearts. You know, again, here's some questions. They're good questions. I mean, I found myself asking these questions. We've kind of already talked about a lot of them. But do you subtly grieve at the gifts and usefulness of others or other ministries than your own? Do you subtly grieve at the usefulness of someone else? Jealousy, you know why jealousy is it's so vile? Is because you rejoice when others fail. The person you're jealous about, the person you're in competition with, when they fail, when they don't do that well, you're happy. I mean, think of how sinful that is. Think about if that could be put on the big screen, and it is. God sees everything. I mean, that is hideous. Has anyone ever had that happen? Rejoicing at someone's fall? I know in my own life, I've had that happen, and I've had to battle it, that I not give in to such sin. Another question, again, are you jealous for your own cause, your own kingdom, or God's cause and God's kingdom? Is your burning desire for your own glory or God's glory? Again, do you rejoice with those who are honored? Here a good one is, do you view someone as a threat? I mean, do you view anyone as a threat? That person's a threat. Okay, why would I feel that in my heart? Why would I feel a person is a threat? Oh, I see. I'm jealous that I want to have such and such happen, and they may interfere with that. And so I'm jealous and they're a threat, and I want them to get rid of them. Hey, why don't I go sell them into slavery? That's what Joseph's brothers did. Rather, we shouldn't view him as a threat, but we should view him as God's gift to sanctify us of our jealousy and pride. I mean, anyone you feel like you're competitive with, you're jealous of them, you should just thank God right now in your heart for them, because they're a very piece of iron that God's rubbing up against you to make you more like Jesus Christ and to crush you. Romans 12:9, it says, abhor what is evil. Abhor means to have a horror of. It means to detest. We should abhor jealousy. because it is evil. We should abhor it. Remember, God is a jealous God. He's jealous that our hearts and motives are right, that we're not double-minded people. You want to know one of the worst things of jealousy? One of the worst things that will affect in your life? It will kill. It will not kill. Different word. It will temporarily ruin your communion and prayer life with Jesus Christ. And that is the most grieving thing. Even in my own life. You know what happened that day when I read that email? And I did not rejoice, and I was not encouraged, and I was not, praise God, He's answering my prayers and raising people up. Rather, I kind of read it and was kind of like, huh, how do I respond to that? And then I was thinking in my mind, I should be really rejoicing right now, but I'm not. Why am I not rejoicing right now? You know what happened right at that moment? Ephesians 4:30. I grieved the Holy Spirit. I sinned. And you know what happened? My communion, my sensitivity to the Lord, I just cut that down a whole lot. Right there. And there was not a sense of the Lord's nearness. That is a fearful place to be as a Christian. It's fearful not in that, there's wrath coming. No. I didn't think of wrath or judgment or anything. It was fearful because I realized I just sinned. And if I keep going on like this, I'm just getting farther away from having intimate fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ. And that is a life of no joy. That is a life of emptiness. And I realize, Lord, I need to figure this out. I need to clear my conscience. I need You to forgive me, to show me what's going on and help me. So jealousy ruins communion with Christ. And as I mentioned already, it ruins fellowship with other saints. The people you're jealous of are the ones you don't want to be around. They're the people you don't want to fellowship with. It's just wrong. We shouldn't feel that way about anyone in the church. There should be no one in this church we feel jealous towards. We should feel encouraged towards everyone. We should be praying God's greatest blessing toward everyone in the church. If there's one person in the church, you think to yourself, you know what, I cannot pray for God's greatest blessing on their life, then you need to search your heart. If there's something restraining you from praying that for them, something's wrong in your heart. And so often jealousy is the issue. But yeah, go try to pray to the Lord with undealt sin, whether it's jealousy or whatever it may be. So, in conclusion, again, ask ourselves that question. Would I respond like Moses? Do I respond like Moses in verse 29? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets. You put your own word there. Were that all the Lord's people were whatever is going to test you the most to see if you're loving. That the Lord would put His Spirit on them. Do I respond like that, or do I respond like verse 28? My Lord Moses, stop them. Shut them up. Prevent them. Don't bless them. Don't let it happen. So that's something you've got to ask yourself. That's a good question to ask ourselves. So strive to be humble, meek like Moses, who does not envy when other men excel. Rather, he prayed that all men would be highly gifted and even excel. Does anyone have any thoughts they want to add? Again, I just bring this tonight because, you know, the humble fact is I felt in my own heart I was dealing with some of these things. And so I remembered this passage and I thought, boy, you know, that's just a sick thing to even be close to, you know, Lord, stop it. Stop blessing what you're doing in that specific country. Because, well, I'm praying for it. Use me. Use me. No, Lord, use anyone. It doesn't matter who you use. If I'm worried about who God uses, I'm worried about my own kingdom, not God's kingdom. And you know, that's the true Christian. His life is about God's kingdom. It's not his own. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And what's one of the biggest things that keeps men from truly surrendering to Christ? They're unwilling to give up their own kingdom. Whether it's a religious kingdom and one of these big false ministries, or whether it's an earthly kingdom and it's all their possessions, it's all their things. Whether their kingdom is all their relationships with their friends, and those are what they value over Christ. Men don't want to give up their kingdom. You know why? They're deceived to think that their kingdom will provide them with everlasting joy, but that is a total lie. You die, you lose everything. You take nothing to heaven. You stand before God naked and you give an account. And, you know, Jesus Christ, He offers, the fact He gives us a part in His kingdom is incredible. And the last thing we should be is discontent with what part He's given us. We should be thankful He's given us any part. Any part. What did the psalmist say? One day is a doorkeeper in your house. One day as a doorkeeper is better than 1,000 elsewhere. He saw just being a little doorkeeper in the Lord's house, that's better than 1,000 days elsewhere. And that 1,000 doesn't mean a literal 1,000. I mean, it means forever. One day being a doorkeeper in Christ's house. One day being a member in the body of Christ, no matter what your giftedness is, guess what? That's better than being dead and lost in your sins and going to hell. So the last thing we should be is jealous people. We should be thankful people. We should be rejoicing people. And I'll tell you, I'm preaching through Philippians on Sundays, and Paul is all about fighting for joy. Jealousy is a joy killer. It sucks your joy. It kills your joy. It takes it away from you in a moment. I mean, everything's going fine. And you can just go check your email, and one email with something in it can take all your joy because it brought out some jealousy that was going on in your heart. I mean, who here wants to lose their joy? I don't. I want more joy. I want to know Christ more. I mean, I want more reality. I want more sensitivity towards sin in my life. That's what I want. Isn't that what you want? More sensitivity. And if we let subtle sins like jealousy have any room in our life, any room in our minds, we're not going to have that. We're going to be dull to some extent. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your grace towards us that we simply don't deserve. Lord, we deserve hell. We deserve damnation. We deserve no sleep day or night in the presence of Your wrath. And yet here You've sent Your Son to be our Redeemer. And You've paid the price. You've secured our release. You've given us works to walk in beforehand. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that You would help them to do the very things You've called them to do. Lord, would You save us from any manifestation of jealousy? Any manifestation, Lord, would You purge it out of our hearts, that we would be content, that we would just rejoice when others are blessed, that we would not dare stand there dull, but rejoice. And God, keep us from ever saying, stop the blessing. Help us to be like Moses and say, Lord, may all the people have such a thing as that. So, Father, we look to You. In Jesus' name, amen.